Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And we are guest-free today. Got a few things we're going to look at in the Bible, but we do have opportunity. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. The phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on here today. But in the meanwhile, let's open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just want to thank you for giving us the freedom to be able to talk about these things. And we just ask that you would bless the program. Help us be an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to be able to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you and in all things to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to some of our past programs there. You can listen to our Sunday night programs. I know a lot of times people go to sleep a little earlier on Sunday evening. Not everybody's a night owl like I am, but we have a program every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight right here on this station. So I invite you to listen to that program as well. And if you can't stay up for it, you can listen to it online at livewithpastoral.com. Also, a number of articles and things that are there that I've put together over the years. And, of course, the latest article that I have there is my article, A Shocking Statistic, where I talk about the recent Barna poll that surveyed American pastors and found that 62% of them do not have a biblical worldview, but rather syncretic or religious pluralism type worldview, and then went from there to the drop in church membership, where membership in houses of worship, that would be churches, that would be synagogues, etc., has gone below 50% for the first time since Gallup had been keeping score or keeping tabs on that, doing surveys since the 1930s. And there's a number of statistics that I talk about there, and you can find that in that article, A Shocking Statistic. And what was the solution? The solution, of course, is to get back into the Bible and preach the Word of God, read the Word of God, study the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, live the Word of God. And that means we need people who are saved and know that they're saved, and they have a desire, a longing for the things of God. Well, some other things we're going to look at here today as well. There's a number of things that are happening in the news. There was just a number of attacks against pro-life centers that we've heard about. Another church shooting here yesterday in the news, and these things just seem to be happening with more and more regularity. It's interesting, I was mentioning in previous programs about as we've turned away from God, we've seen a turning away from morality and increasing chaos in our society. And I found a thing that I've mentioned a little bit in the past, but active shooter incidents, the FBI's own statistics, an active shooter incident they describe as one or more people actively targeting, trying to kill people in a populated area. And they showed that as church attendance, church membership dipped after 2018, where it reached about 50% as it dipped down below 50% by 2020, down to 47%, I believe it was, we saw an increase in active shooter incidences of 33% increase between 2019 and 2020. And then from 2020 to 2021, we saw a 52.5% increase. That's after holding steady, virtually unchanged 2017, 2018, 2019, then all of a sudden this surge of active shooter incidences at about the same time that we've seen a precipitous plunge in church membership, church attendance. And they say, well, but that's when the pandemic was going on. Well, absolutely. That's a part of the reason for some of the drop in church attendance, though it was dipping. It was dipping prior to the pandemic, but certainly in 2020, we saw churches shut down across the country. And so as a consequence, we've seen many people out of church. Some people have estimated that perhaps as much as a third of churches have closed here in Ohio alone. And so we see this happening. And also the tension and everything building up. I think this increase in active shooter incidences parallels, I don't have the figures in front of me, but certainly the number of suicides that have occurred during this time, drug overdoses, alcohol involved incidences, and just a number of things are skyrocketing since the pandemic started. But it's also at the same time that church membership has been plummeting in this country. And of course, we've seen along with that a biblical worldview is plummeting. And we've reached the point now where people who believe the Bible, people who want to live out the Word of God, are now starting to be targeted. And we see this very clearly in the pro-life issues, but we're also seeing this in churches, and it's like I read several articles talking about this, and some people are making the point that they're going after the pro-life ministries today and the Catholic churches because they're so identified with the pro-life ministry, but they're going to be coming after evangelical church, especially when you see the current administration and the left-leaning media, well, I shouldn't say leaning, the leftist media in this country now starting to target Christian nationalism as the greatest threat to democracy in America. And this is time where we need to remember what Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says this, starting in verse 1, he writes, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him whom hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." And Paul goes on to use several other points in all to try to illustrate the fact that we need to take a stand here as Christians. And we need, as he said there in verse 3, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this is a word picture that should alert us and tell us what we need to be doing in a day when we see churches being targeted. Let me just read something. There's a group called Jane's Revenge. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Jane's Revenge, let me just put it simply. Jane's Revenge is a domestic terror group. That's what it is. It's a radical pro-abortion group. It's a domestic terrorist group. And they have targeted any group, any organization, any business, any group, any church that is against abortion on demand. And by the way, when we're talking about abortion on demand, it's not just abortion up until the time of birth anymore. I mean, I remember a few years ago when the New York state legislature erupted into cheers. It was as if they had won the Super Bowl or something, or the World Series. And people erupted in cheers because they passed legislation allowing a baby to be aborted even up to the moment of the baby being delivered, and you could still abort it. Remember the previous leftist governor of Virginia who speculated that we should allow babies to be aborted after they were born? And we see other states aborting babies and allowing abortion and talking about allowing abortion after birth. I'm sorry, that's not abortion anymore. That's infanticide. It is not abortion. There's no way that you can claim that a baby that has emerged from its mother's womb and is in this world now is a blob of tissue, or that it's not human, or that it's its mother's body. Of course, the whole argument that it's its mother's body is actually one of the most stupid arguments that you could make. It's completely without any factual, intellectual, medical, or scientific basis, because a newborn or an unborn child is a separate body from its mother's body. It's contained within its mother's body, but it is not its mother's body. And that's why we need laws to protect that child. We have laws to protect people from others that would seek to kill them. We have laws against murder in this country. We have laws against crimes of passion, where somebody gets upset with somebody, strikes them, shoots them, stabs them, or whatever, and kills them or attempts to kill them. We had an individual that traveled across the country to Justice Kavanaugh's home, showed up with gun, knife, zip ties, various items, with the plan of breaking into Justice Kavanaugh's home and tying up him and presumably his family and then killing them, not necessarily a quick bullet to the head, but the tools that he had with him suggested that he wanted them to suffer. I don't know exactly what his intentions were, but thankfully he kind of got cold feet when he saw the U.S. Marshals Service, the U.S. Marshals standing outside providing security to Justice Kavanaugh, even when Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House were still dithering about whether or not we should up security for judges and the Supreme Court justices. Thankfully, I guess they finally passed the bill. I think about 20, 27 Democrats still voted against it. They don't want these people protected. I dare say my speculation is some of them would like to see some of them killed or at least frightened, because they identify with groups like this Jane's Revenge. And let me go back to this Jane's Revenge domestic terror group. And and as I finish up with Justice Kavanaugh there, the gentleman, I shouldn't say gentleman, the individual, the deranged leftist that was going to kill him, was arrested. He confessed, and he's charged with attempted murder. And I saw something recently saying that they believe he's facing potentially life in prison. Well, we have laws to protect people who are threatened. Well, we ought to have laws protecting unborn children. And we have it in the Bill of Rights that people should not be deprived of life without due process of law. And if there it was an abortion taking place, there should be careful review, because you're talking about what is the circumstances justifying ending a human life. Now, the Bible does have some circumstances, of course. In Exodus, I think it's chapter 22, a thief be found breaking in, and he's smitten that he dies. No blood's to be shed for him. You can take a human life in defense of yourself, your family, your home. We also know that the Bible says in Romans 12 or chapter 13 that talking about the government officials, we think of the police, the soldier, and others, they bear not the sword in vain, meaning they had an instrument of lethal force that they were authorized to use to defend the community. And then, of course, we know when Noah and his family got off the ark that they were given permission. Actually, they were not just given permission, they were commanded that if someone were to take the life, to murder somebody, then their blood was to be shed, their life was to be taken, they were to be executed. The commandment that says, thou shalt not kill, does not refer to an execution or self-defense, it refers to murder. And so this is what we understand. So there are laws protecting people from being murdered, and yet we've got states. I just heard from Pastor Lutz, he was saying that he heard that California was passing a law authorizing the killing of a newborn baby up to 7 days after birth. This is just the idea that this would even be considered in the United States of America. It's no different than the laws that are saying, well, we're considering allowing somebody to just come and kill you if they want to. You know, well, let's think about it. You know, no, we have laws against murder. We have them there for a reason. But let me get back to the Jane's Revenge domestic terror group. And here's a brief excerpt from Jane's Revenge. As I said, it's a radical pro-abortion group. And they said this. This was just released recently here, I think, just a few days ago or so. They said, from here forward, any anti-choice group who closes their doors and stops operating will no longer be a target. But until you do, it's open season, and we know where your operations are. The infrastructure of the enslavers will not survive. We will never stop, back down, slow down, or retreat. Continues, everyone with the urge to paint, to burn, to cut, to jam, now is the time. Now, think about this, what they were just saying there. From here forward, any anti-choice group, they did not single out pro-choice ministries. And there's been over 40 pro-choice ministries, pro-life centers, and I think it goes up to close to 50 if you count the churches that have been disrupted and attacked over this. Just since the Dobbs decision, potential decision, was leaked to the press last month. I think it's been almost 40 days or 44 days, 45 days, something like that, since that was leaked. And when people are thinking about it, they're thinking, well, they're attacking pro-life centers, you know, pro-life ministry centers and things like that. No, it said any anti-choice group. Now, I don't know about your church, but our church is very definitely against abortion. They would label us anti-choice. Now, of course, they don't want the unborn child to have any choice in the matter. Obviously, they don't want anybody to speak for that unborn child because they don't want to recognize that unborn child as a real person. But what am I to take from this as a pastor? Am I supposed to say then that this group, Jane's Revenge, this domestic terror group, is threatening my church because we are not pro-abortion? And therefore, the only way to not be a target, to not have open season declared upon us, is to close our doors, to stop operating? I think not. I got somewhere in my Bible it says something about the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And well, these certainly are people that have more in common with the residents of hell than the residents of heaven, that's for sure. But they're basically calling out. They said, we'll never stop, back down, slow down, or retreat, saying everyone with the urge to paint, to burn, to cut, to jam, now is the time. You know, we live in a time when Christians need to become good soldiers. We're living in a time when things might get a little difficult. You know, I'm thankful, for one, that this past Monday, we had a great law take place in Ohio. It's the Constitutional Carry Act. It became law, and it took effect on Monday, June 13th. And that means that anybody in Ohio who can legally own a firearm, you can carry either open or concealed a handgun without a special permit. Now, we've had open carry. I could strap a six gun on my hip and walk into, you know, walk down the street, and there's no problem with that legally. Now, some people might not be happy with that, but I could have that same gun on my strapped there on my hip, and I have a coat on a cool day, and it's open, and they can see the gun. I'm okay. The moment I sat down and it covered the gun, I'd be a lawbreaker. That's the way the law was in Ohio. Well, now, thanks to the Constitution Carry Act, I'm no longer a lawbreaker if that happens. And you stand up, you know, and the gun's visible, you're not a lawbreaker before. You sit down, it's covered, you're a lawbreaker. You stand up, you're not a lawbreaker anymore. That's the way it was. Well, now we've got some common sense. And, of course, the Second Amendment is supported by this. And I say, well, why? You say, well, Pastor, why are you excited about that? Why do you think that's a good deal? Well, let me tell you. We're living a day when we're under threat. We have domestic terrorists. We have people who are coming into churches and attacking churches. I think we're in the day when just what Paul said right here, that we need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does a good soldier do? A good soldier is prepared. A good soldier is ready for attack. A good soldier is ready to defend. A good soldier sees the big picture. And we need to understand that we're fighting in a battle between good and evil in this country. We have a group of people in this country. They call it Pride Month this month. When, you know, what they're doing is they're flaunting something that God calls an abomination. In the face of God, they've even taken the rainbow that God put in the sky as a picture, a reminder of His mercy during the time of judgment, and they have perverted it. It's like they're thumbing their nose at God Himself with the rainbow flag, and then reveling in the fact that not only are we proud of our abominable behavior, but they want us to be a part of that too. They want us to endorse. They want us to not just accept it, but endorsement. I've mentioned in the time past, been a while since I thought about it, I believe it's the Riddle or the Rydell scale of homophobic behavior. And a lot of people would think, well, if I'm willing to tolerate them. I don't agree with it, but I'm willing to tolerate. On that scale, you're considered homophobic. You say, well, I can accept it. I don't like it, but I can accept it. If that's the way they are, I'll accept them. You're still mildly homophobic. You don't become non-homophobic until you endorse it. And that's what Pride Month is all about. They want people to endorse their sin. They want their sin flaunted in the face of God. And it's, you know, I know we're talking about the Pride Month, the LGBTQ thing, and we're talking about abortion, and we're talking about shootings and all of this, and it seems like a lot of things to throw together in the mix, and we're talking about the drop in church membership and attendance and the biblical worldviews, but it's all related. That's why I'm throwing all this together in the mix. It's all related. We live, as Paul later said here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last time or last days, perilous times shall come. We're in perilous days. We have domestic terror groups such as Jane's Revenge directly threatening organizations, which would include churches that are pro-life, wanting us to close our doors, wanting us to stop and quiet and silence our message. But you know what? There's been others against us in the past because they're just a part of the spiritual battle that we're involved in. We have an enemy called Satan, the devil. He's real. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to resist him in the power of Christ. You need Christ as your Savior. I hope you know him as your Savior today. Well, God bless. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.